Happy New Year. Now listen, we're going to just delete that out of the video. We're going to go back to this. We're going to try corresponding, because if that's as good as it gets today, it's going to be a long 2-hour sermon. I'm just letting you know, right? Happy New Year. That's what I'm talking about. That's way better. Thank you for coming. Let's pray and go home. No, I'm excited about the new year. And I told somebody this morning, Happy New Year. It kind of feels like the same year. But I believe in some ways that maybe we hope and believe, and maybe in some ways that we don't even expect yet, I think 2022 is actually going to be an incredible year. I'm really excited about the vision God's given us for the year. I believe that God's got some plans in store that he's starting to reveal to us, some really cool things that are going to happen. And it's really started to get me like all reminiscing, like thinking back. And today's not part of next week's series. Today is a standalone sermon. You may be like, why did I come to church today? I believe today is going to be something, kind of some breakthrough moments for a lot of us, or lead to some breakthrough moments for a lot of us. So it got me thinking, like, have you ever had one of those times? Like maybe you knew you needed to do something, but you didn't want to do something. Or you were told you had to do something, but you were really reluctant to like get started on it, to maybe put effort into it, maybe even tried to get out of it. But then maybe like by the time you got to the end, or maybe partway through, you were like, really, really kind of glad I did this. You ever have one of those moments where like you didn't want to, you didn't hope to, you didn't try to, and then once you started, you're like, I'm really actually pretty glad that I did this. Like for me, I was thinking back years and years ago, we had never been down to see the Mouse of the South before, and Katie and I were having this conversation about summer vacations, and Katie informed me we would be going to see the Mouse in the South. So we prepared our family to make the trip, the drive down to Orlando. And I will assure you, I did not want to go. I did not desire to go. I had no interest in going. I did not want to spend that kind of money, and I didn't want to have to suffer through it. At that time, most of the people in our circle of influence had an experience down there in Orlando and hated it, and I was like, I don't want to be part of the statistics. Can I just tell you, like 3 or 4 days into it, I'm sitting on a park bench drinking like a $14 bottle of water, and I have this epiphany. My kids are having the time of their life, and I'm so glad that we came. Like, this was such a good experience, so much time with our kids, like, just with our family. Such a great, awesome experience. So glad that I had actually done it. I remember just a couple years ago, I started having this muscle pain, like, under my shoulder blade. I didn't even know there was muscles under your shoulder blade, and it's really hard to get to those. So I go to the doctor, like, this is excruciating. Like, I've broken bones, I've rolled my ankle, I've torn my knee up. I've never birthed a child, so I don't really know what real pain is. I get it. But it was the worst pain I've ever experienced. Like, the most specific, hurtful pain I had ever had. So I go to the doctor. The doctor's like, I don't know. Gives me some tricks and some things to try. None of that stuff works. So I did what we all do when the doctor doesn't know what to do. We go to our trained professional friends who think they have an opinion on how to medically treat you. And almost every one of them was some sort of rendition of, you need to go see a therapist and get a deep tissue massage. I'm like, no, I'm not that kind of guy. Like, I don't like people rubbing up on me. That seems uncomfortable. Maybe a massage works for you, but it's not for me. Like, it might work for you, but I'm not interested in trying it. And then I tried it. So I'm like maybe 3 minutes into this thing, and I'm like, oh, this was the best idea ever. I'm so glad that I went through with it. I'm so glad that I did the thing that I said I wasn't going to do. If I could be honest with you today, I think there's times where we read things, some recommendations or some instructions that we find in the Bible, and for many of us, we have that same perspective. That might work for you, but that's not really for me. That works for people. That's not really something I'm into. That's not something I'm really willing to try. That's not something I'm interested in. And I think oftentimes we write off things that Jesus instructs or recommends to us, and we rewrite it off to, it's just not for me. And oftentimes we miss out on some of the very things that God wants to do in us because we've pushed this off, we've pushed this practice off as something that I just didn't want to do. So the context of today's sermon, how I believe that if we start this 2022 year off, I believe is going to be an incredible step in growing our faith, developing our faith, and becoming stronger in the responsibility and the purpose that God created us for. So if you've been there before, let me give you some context. I think there's some times where I've got to a place in life where I would say, like, I'm just not really as connected to God as I want to be. Or I'm feeling like there's a barrier or a blockage between them. I'm believing for God to do something. I'm believing that God's going to speak. I'm asking God for direction. And it seems like there's a blockade or a barrier or a disconnect somewhere in there. And in today's passage that we're kind of studying through, this actually is pretty common. Maybe that hasn't happened to you. Maybe it has. I would say if it has happened, you're in good company, because I know most believers go through seasons where we just feel disconnected from God. And in this particular passage, the disciples who were actually with Jesus while he was walking on the earth still had that same level of disconnect. Like, they just, something's not right. It's not working the way it should. Things aren't happening. So I'll give you some context. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there while I'm talking, Matthew chapter 17, or if you're clicking on your fancy internet Bible, Matthew 17. So Jesus takes just a handful of disciples. He takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain, and they have like this really cool experience. They get to participate. They get to observe. Really cool things happen. And Matthew 17 kind of breaks it down for us. And then as we get rolling down, further down in the chapter, in verse 14, we'll pick up the story there. It says, at the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was gathered and waiting for them. So they're waiting for Jesus and the few guys to come down the mountain. A man came to them, and he knelt before Jesus, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's had seizures, and he suffers terribly. Often he falls into a fire or under water. So I brought him to your disciples so that they could heal him. But they couldn't. They couldn't heal him. Now, you may think that's like a random verse. Like, why would you just put that little random thing in there, maybe trying to tie something together? So at this point in the ministry, the disciples have been with Jesus long enough. He had given them the authority to do the very things that Jesus had been doing. Like, the disciples had the authority to heal people, to perform miracles, to connect people to God, to do these crazy things where, like, people had never seen this before, but because of Jesus, they were able to do this up until this point. So you can imagine the frustration of the disciples. Like, Jesus has shown us everything we need to do, how we need to say, what we need to, the heart of our posture of our heart we need to have, and all these things. And then we did those, and then it didn't work. And I can just imagine the frustration with the disciples that were talking to this guy, like, why isn't this working? Jesus showed us how to do it like this. What's going on? As you can imagine, the disciples were probably a little bit frustrated with this. So the guy asked, hey, appreciate your time. Thanks for your effort. Can I just go see Jesus? Like, I kind of felt like I just walked in and talked to the receptionist, and you gave me some tricks, and that didn't work. I just need to see the doctor, okay? Can I just make my way on back? So they do. The disciples are like, okay, yeah, whatever, but we're going to come along with you because we want to know. We want to know what's going on. So the guy presents his request to Jesus. Can you heal my son? Your disciples couldn't do it. And Jesus' response, like Jesus' responses often are, isn't really an answer to the question that was directly asked. He first says some other things. So verse 17, I'm not stepping on your toes today, Jesus is. He says, you faithless and corrupt people. Like, that's an aggressive statement in my book. Like, there's an exclamation point. You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. And from that moment on, the boy was well. I mean, that's about as aggressive as Jesus gets, right? Like, he's just not pulling any punches. Let me tell you what the problem is. You're faithless and you're corrupt. And I don't know how much longer I got to sit here and babysit you. Like, that's how I read that. Like, wow. So whatever the disciples were feeling at this point, we could all agree he got their attention. Like, oh man, we've been like 2 years in with this guy. We have listened to every word he says, and that's how he's going to. Okay, what do you got to say about that, Jesus? And they tune in. Jesus offers these two simple barriers that prevented the disciples from being able to heal this boy or cast out this demon. He says, you're faithless and you're corrupt. I mean, that caught their attention. And I heard this explanation of this passage a few years back, and I thought that makes it make a whole lot more sense to me. So let me see if I can help you understand it the same way that I understand it, and it changed for me. When Jesus says, you faithless and corrupt people, it's not a condemnation of how dare you, I'm sick of you. It feels like that, but when you dig into it, I think there's more to it. I think when Jesus is reflecting here, he's saying, you're faithless because you're really disconnected from God, or you're not connected to God as well as you should be. It's faithless, we could say, is I'm not connected to God. I'm not connected enough to God. And maybe for you, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel that way. I feel like for whatever reason, something's going on and I'm just not as connected to God as I would hope that I was, or that I wanted to be, or that I thought even that I was. Faithless, not connected. And then he says, and you're corrupted. You're corrupt. Now, if I understand it right, corrupt means that you're really too connected to something else. We could say it like this. If I'm faithless, I'm disconnected from God. And if I'm corrupted, I'm too connected to the world. I think that happens, like, maybe it starts to understand like that. When we're corrupted, the thing that we're connected to is polluted or diluted or corroded, and it's not as well connected as it once was. If we're faithless, we're disconnected from God, and if we're corrupted, we're too connected to something else, too connected to the world. Maybe you've seen that other areas of your life. If you're married, maybe you've got to that place where you kind of had that blow up, where you were busy at work and you were working some overtime, trying to wrap up a project. Maybe you spent a lot of time coaching your kids and you were gone all the time. Maybe you had some hobby you were really picking up on and enjoying, and you connected to this thing outside of your home and you disconnected from your family. And then we didn't recognize it. We didn't realize it until one day your spouse was like, hey, this is wrong. This isn't how this should be. Like, it happens more often than not. Most of the time, we don't recognize it. We don't see it. I think that's what's happened to the disciples. I think they just didn't recognize that they'd started to get too connected to something that wasn't Jesus and disconnected from him in the process. They were too connected to the world, disconnected from Jesus. And while Jesus is direct and to the point when he corrects the disciples, he wasn't mean and just to tell them, you're faithless and you're corrupt. I'm tired of being with you and then walk away. He actually provides the solution, which Jesus would always do. He would never just give you a problem, point to the problem, then walk away. He provides a solution. Starting in verse 19, he says, so afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, and I love that it says that, because you know they were embarrassed. Like sometimes as believers, as followers, we're embarrassed to say things like this. Like I'm not as strong in my prayer life as I should be. But we're not going to get up on stage and be like, hi, I'm Pastor Luke. I've got a confession. My faith is weakening. So we talk privately or we don't talk at all. And the disciples, they did the same thing. They go to Jesus privately. Like, why did this not work? You taught us what to do. We did what you told us to do, but it's not working. Can you help us figure this out? Can you explain to us why it worked? And Jesus answers, why couldn't we cast out this demon? He says, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told him, I tell you the truth. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. And typically that's where we hit the period. We're done. We move on to the next passage. Such a powerful verse, such a real verse, Jesus explained to us. We've probably seen the illustration. If you come to church very long, at some point, somebody probably showed you how tiny a mustard seed is. If you just had faith the size of that mustard seed, you could tell the mountain, and Jesus standing in front of a mountain, you could tell that mountain to move and it would move. But that's not where he stops. And if you're reading in the scripture, you may not have a verse 21 in your translation. It may be a footnote, or you may have verse 21 because it continues on. Jesus wasn't just done with just have faith. He continued on and said, but this kind of demon won't leave except by prayer and fasting. It's almost like Jesus knew what he was doing when he put all this together. Like, I'm just going to get to this place where I'm going to encourage you to deepen your faith by prayer and fasting. But first, I need you to see that you have a need for this. The issues that you were having, the disconnect, the fact that connection wasn't as strong as you hoped it was or you thought that it was, is because your faith had weakened because you were too connected to the world and you were disconnected to God. So the solution is prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, prayer, if you know, I mean, even if you didn't grow up in church, you've got some understanding here in North Central Indiana. Prayer is the thing that we do, that we try to posture ourselves to better connect to God. I mean, that's the design God had, is that prayer is a great means for us to connect to God. It's spending time with God. And we would all probably agree that spending time with someone is the best way to strengthen a relationship with them. When I spend quality time with God, it builds my faith, a stronger faith, a greater faith, a more robust faith. And when I don't spend as much time with God, we get to that place where we feel disconnected from God or faithless. I mean, it makes sense in our normal relationships. Like if you've got a good, strong, healthy relationship with your spouse, I guarantee you spend some quality time together. And as that quality time shrinks or divides or erodes or corrodes, your relationship gets a little strained. It gets a little less strong or less close than it was. But on the other side of that, when Katie and I have a good amount of quality time together, not just quantity time, but quality time together, it overflows into all the aspects of our relationship. It's the same thing with our God. The more quality time we spend with God, the more we can trust him, the more we can trust the confidence we have in him, the more it grows and enhances the connectedness that we have. In my prayer life, it connects me to God. I can't think of a better practice and a better time to put this practice into play than the beginning of the year. With all the new habits and new rhythms and resolutions, what greater resolution could we say than in 2022, I'm going to be more connected to God than ever before? I'm going to start this year off by intentionally setting aside time to connect to God through prayer. You faithless and corrupt people. Even if you don't think that it's that extreme for you, maybe you could agree, and I would agree, like for me especially, and I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with a believer, with a follower who would say, like, my prayer life is as good as it needs to be right now. My prayer life is exactly where I hoped it would be. Almost every time. In fact, I think every conversation I've had with someone about prayer, we would always respond somewhere along the line with, it could be better. I wish my prayer life was a little stronger. I wish I was a little more intentional about setting aside time to pray. And the thing is, like, it's such a simple practice, but we get so connected to the world that we don't get connected to God. And God says the solution is simple. Fast, withdraw, disconnect, and pray, connect. And fasting, right? Like, I'm at the age where I'm starting to get worried about fasting because I know when the doctor asks me to fast, it's probably because I've got a procedure where they're going to go look around on the inside of me, and I've heard that that's miserable. I don't really want to talk about that. But I've had enough surgeries to know, like, when you fast, like the doctor says, hey, you got to be at the hospital tomorrow at 9 a.m., don't drink anything or eat anything after midnight. And typically, like, okay, midnight to 9 a.m., that's 9 hours. I can go 9 hours until someone tells you you can't eat for 9 hours or drink for 9 hours, and then what happens? Oh, the belly grumbles. Am I right? Like, I'm usually good about it until someone says you can't, and then you want it. Like, if someone says you can't have anything to drink for the next few hours, can't swallow. I got nothing left. whatever the psychological part of that is, when we're told not to, or that we shouldn't, left unchecked and unhindered, it causes all kinds of physical issues in us. I mean, that's really part of what we're attempting to do in this spiritual discipline of fasting. Fasting is, in fact, a spiritual discipline, and I would argue it's the most overlooked and underutilized of the spiritual disciplines, often because, and that's not for me, I don't see how that's going to do good. That may be for you, but that's not something I'm into. And I think we miss out on a connectedness to our God because we don't want to think about it or consider it or think that it's something we could do. Fasting, if you're taking notes, fasting disconnects me from the world. I mean, that simple. Fasting disconnects me from the world. Not like absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Like if you fast long enough, I suppose you'd be absent from the body. But the idea behind fasting isn't to separate all of you out and live this Christmas Carol movie where you're hovering above. It's nothing like that, but it's an intentional spiritual step to disconnect yourself from the things that have hindered you from growing in your relationship and connecting to God. Fasting is actually an important part of our spiritual discipline that's talked a lot about in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Fasting is really a part of this journey that Jesus encourages us to utilize to grow in our faith. And can I just tell you, much like my trip to Disney and much like my trip to the massage therapist, every time I've fasted personally, somewhere along the way or by the time I get to the end, I can look back and say, I'm so, so glad that I did this. Every time I've taken that intentional time to set aside, to withdraw from something and to press in and connect to God, every time God's shown up in ways and met or exceeded my expectations. Or shown up and done the very thing that I needed more than I thought that I wanted. Every time I've prayed and fasted, set aside specific time for it to happen, God has moved in ways that just changed the way I viewed prayer and fasting. I mean, for the longest time, like, this wasn't for me. This was something people more spiritual than me did. This is something that people that maybe have been a believer longer than me did. This is something that maybe somebody who's a scholar would do. But can I just tell you, even as a new believer, this is a great step to strengthening your relationship in Jesus from the beginning. To withdraw from something that's distracting you or polluting your relationship with God and to press in, to lean in, and to better connect with Him every time. You'll be able to look back at some point and say, I'm glad that I did this. Fasting is not just punishing yourself. For the longest time, I believed that fasting was like God's way of getting us to experience some of the pain and agony that Jesus went through. Like, God's going to get us back. He wants us to get a taste of it, and that's not true at all. But fasting is seriously, it's disconnecting us from the world or from a particular part of the world or a particular attribute of the world that's polluted or corrupted or disrupted our connection to God. It's identifying that something has caused interference, it's caused a blockage, and because of that, I can't get to the next step in my faith growth or my connection with God until something shifts, until something supernaturally, spiritually shifts. I mean, if you think about it like this, kind of at the core of it, many of us, we develop these draws, these cravings, these hungers for things of our world, and then we wonder why we can't get to that next connection level with God. I think that a part of the fast is realizing that every time I get that stomach grumble, every time I get that urge to listen to this or to watch this or to eat this, to consume this, or to get that caffeine in me, every time I get that urge is a reminder of the need that I have for my God. I mean, the point behind it, like if I was doing a food fast, is that every time I felt the hunger grumble is a reminder that I don't need food as much as I need God. That I don't need caffeine or sugar as much as I need God. That I don't need to do this thing anymore or as much as I need the time, the quality time that I have with my God. I'll give you an example. You guys are 10:45 attenders, so you've already been up and you've had your cup of coffee. How many of us, by a show of hands, would say, I'm the kind of person that my day doesn't start until I get my cup of coffee or my second cup of coffee or my pitcher of coffee? Like, I'm a cold caffeine guy, so I need my Mountain Dew in the morning, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, that gets me going. That's how I begin my day. What would our spiritual life look like if that was true about us but different? My day doesn't begin until I've had my time with God. My day doesn't start until I've had my prayer time, my study time, my Bible time, my worship time. How much different would our spiritual life look like if that was our go-to? No, before anything else, I need my time with God. Before I eat any food, before I do anything else, before I start to work, before I start to get ready and brush my teeth, my first time is set aside every morning to spend time with God. If we had a craving for God the same way we craved caffeine or sugar or food, think how much different our spiritual life would be. Fasting disconnects us from the world and connects us better to God. I mean, I think, I think Jesus was onto something when he explained it to me. And I don't, what we're not doing is trying to hyper-spiritualize a diet. Like oftentimes churches will do a fast to start the year off right to set aside time. And typically what a lot of people do is say something like, you know, the holidays are really good for me. I probably ate a little bit too much, carrying a little extra holiday weight. I should probably go on a diet. If you want to do that, that is great. But don't call that a spiritual fast. That's just a diet, right? We're okay with that. The spiritual fast is when we withdraw to connect. There's an intentionality piece to it that I'm going to use this as a reminder to seek God, to trust God, to reach out and connect. Church, here's what I believe. I believe that God really does have some incredible things planned for us as individuals, for us as a church in 2022. But it's not the sort of thing where we can just do under our own power, our own strength, and our own understanding. I believe we're going to have to be well connected to our God. I think we're going to have to be connected to God in ways maybe that we've never done before. So if I can use whatever verb you need here, if I can encourage you, inspire you, motivate you, plead with you, task you, ask you, or motivate you, I believe that as a church, if we set aside the first few weeks of this year to pray and to fast, to seek God, to disconnect from the world, and to connect to him, I believe that God's going to do things in us and through us in 2022 that we could never imagine. So I want to challenge us as a church body, as Crossroads Community Church, whatever campus, including online South Campus and downtown, we're going to fast. We're going to pray, and we're going to fast. We're going to disconnect so we can better connect. January 9th for 3 weeks, so all the way through January 29th. Now, what that looks like for you, that's between you and God. And the reason, one of the reasons we're going to wait till the 9th to start is because I think it's worth spending some intentional time to ask God, how should I fast? What should I fast from? What are the things that have caused a disconnect between me and you so I can pull away from that and reconnect to God? I mean, part of the reason I want to delay this is because I want to make sure that this isn't just a whim, this isn't just a fad like all the cool people are doing, this is something intentional, this is something spiritual, this is something that God has challenged us, instructed us to do, because I believe that there really is an incredible move of God on the other side. I believe that this positions and postures us to be able to hear from God in ways where we maybe have never heard before, where this draws a closeness into us and God, like this bond of a relationship that we've never maybe even dreamed that we can have. And I believe that by Jesus' design, this is how the church was supposed to function. I mean, as you read through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, even in the book of Acts, like the first church, as it was getting off the ground and launching, so many times where they paused what they were doing to worship and to fast or to pray and to fast. One of my favorite passages in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 2, says, one day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So they were worshiping and fasting. And the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul to the special work which I have called them. So then, they didn't just do that right away. After more fasting and prayer, then the men laid hands on them and they sent them on their way. It happened so often in the scriptures, and it wasn't just, well, that's good for you, but that's not really for me. That's not really something I'm into. This was for believers, for followers of Christ. If you want to strengthen your faith, strengthen your relationship with God by prayer and fasting, by fasting and worship. Like, what an incredible, powerful, simple move. Fasting isn't just reserved for medical procedures. It's a spiritual, supernatural move to posture and position myself to be hungry for God, to be hungry for him. It's God's specific design to realign, to restructure, to reprioritize and reshape through the discipline of bringing other things into alignment. Remember the problem. Too connected to the world, need to connect to God. So often in the New Testament, we read, and Paul explained it several times, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that our beings, the human, is like a three-part being. I mean, we're the only one of God's creation that's a three-part being because we were created in God's image. God is a three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Now we understand that. Like, we get the body and soul really good. The spirit, sometimes we miss on, so we got to learn about. But the body is how I experience, like, the physical attributes of our world. Like, the body, I feel cold. The body, I feel pain. I feel heat. I feel exhaustion. The body gets my heart rate up because of maybe moving and doing some exercise. Like, the body is all the parts that I experience, all of the things that I sense is part of my body. And the more connected I am to my body, the more I can sense these things. The more disconnected I am from my body, the less that I sense these things. And it makes sense. So for many people, like, that's why I think food is probably the more common of the fasts, because we get really connected on things like sugar, or carbonated drinks, or caffeine, or food. And I think one of the ways that we get out of the works with that is when we get so connected to them, we're so dependent on them that it takes away from our ability to be able to spend time with God. And for many people, probably rightly so, one of the best fasts that we can do is to withdraw ourselves from the need the body insists that it needs, from the desire or the hunger the body insists that it needs. But can I just tell you, like, this is a spiritual battle of when I want food in my belly, ought to be a reminder that I need God in my life, that I need God's presence guiding my life. And in those times where I feel the hunger, I feel the need, I feel the headache, as I get through, I'm reminded it was God's strength that got me through there in the first place. And then my soul, the second part, my soul is really the part of me that experiences the emotions. Oftentimes our soul is actually played out and it's conditional to how my relationship are with other people. My body is my relationship with me. My soul is my relationship with other people. And for some of us, we could probably use, and I believe this is a growing and probably rightly so, more and more growing area to fast is a soul fast. For many of us, our emotions are completely contingent on how people treat me, what people say to me, or what I read about on social media. And I've seen people that have had really powerful breakthroughs in just a 3-week or a 4-week social media fast, or a worldwide news fast, where we're just getting pumped full of so much negative information. I'll promise you, if something really bad happens in the next 4 weeks, I'll fill you in from stage to the best that I can. But some of us could just use an unplug from the global news. There's so many things attacking our emotions and how we feel and manipulating how we feel that it causes a disruption in our spiritual body, that it causes a disconnect from our God. And then the third part being our spirit. Our spirit is the part of us that God specifically designed to connect with him. Now here's the crazy part. If one or both, the body and the soul, are the strongest connection in our body, it squashes the spirit. In fact, I would say whichever one, body, soul, or spirit, is the strongest in you right now is probably the only one that's really mattering right now. Like, for example, if your body is the most one, and I talked about you guys last service, in the 10:45 service, I know it's 11:35. I know lunch is coming up soon, and I see some of the hunger, discomfort, some of y'all moving around. Like, preacher, wrap it up. It's lunchtime. Come on now. You know, like, there are candy bar companies that have built a brand based on you're a different person when you're hungry or hangry. Am I right? Like, when our physical body is the strongest connection, it doesn't matter what I have to say, because all you can think about, students, help me out here, when it's the class right before lunch, it doesn't matter what the teacher has to say if your body's over here grumbling, right? Like, when our physical body is the strongest, it disrupts everything else. When your soul connection is the strongest, that emotional tie, you've seen people, or maybe you've been there before, someone who goes through grief, such an emotional strain, and they stop eating. Someone that goes through a time of stress and they lose weight because they lose hunger to fulfill the need of their physical body. It's still there. The body still needs nourishment, but because the soul connection is so strong, they stop eating. The thing about both of those are God has given us the ability to put both of those into submission. And part of the fast, whether it's for the body or whether it's for the soul, is to bring into submission the thing that was once so strong that it forced out our connection with God. And God gives us the authority and the ability to bring that back in a line to lift and elevate our spiritual connection above all other things, so that what my body says it needs doesn't matter. What my body says it needs is really falling in line with my strength doesn't come from my food or from my sugar or my caffeine. It comes from God. My emotions are supported, and my emotions are real, and God created us to be emotional beings, but above that is our connection to God. So the reason we're not starting this fast in this time of prayer in the next 10 minutes and waiting a whole week to get started, I think, there's a couple reasons I want to give you. If you're taking notes, these are three simple reasons. They're probably like, I don't even need to write these down. Like, these are just super simple. I get it. But I believe if we don't accomplish or at least press toward these, we're going to miss out on some crazy opportunities. Number one, to get ready for this fast, January 9th, I think that we need to prepare for my time of prayer and fasting. Now, that seems super simple. But realistically, like, if we want to get to a place where partway through, we're clear at the end, or maybe even a little past, when we say, man, I'm so glad that I did this. I think a lot of this is contingent on how we prepare for it. I mean, if you decide to do like a food fast, you probably need to go to the grocery store, right? Like, if you're going to cut out a certain kind of food or do away with food altogether for a time, like, there's probably some things that you need to look into, maybe some supplements to make sure, like, you can do what you need to do. And if that's not the case for you, maybe you've got a physical condition where you can't do a food fast, like, I think it's time to pray and maybe ask God to reveal to you, like, what do I need to fast from? In fact, I would offer this week, as you have time or as you make time, for your fast to be what God wants it to be, starting next week, I would encourage you just to pray these two prayers. God, help me to see where I've disconnected from you. And God, help me to see where I've connected to something too strongly. God, help me to see where I'm disconnected from you, and help me to see where I've connected from something else too strongly. And I believe if we take some time this week, that God will reveal that to us. I mean, it would be super easy for me to get up here and be like, church, I decided to fast for 3 more weeks from asparagus. I've done it for 14 years so far, but for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to add a little bit on there, and I believe that God is going to bless my satin. No, listen. I believe that if you take the time to prepare for this time of prayer and fasting, I believe God's going to show you something that you really and truly need to pull away from, something that you need to disconnect from, maybe something that's really unhealthy for you, for your soul, for your body, maybe something that's not even that unhealthy. But if someone was to do an audit of your life, they might be able to maybe identify that you would consider this thing more important or better than God. We wouldn't say that. We're Christians. We wouldn't say that. But if someone was to look from the outside at what your day looks like, your time, your resources, your energy looks like, maybe caffeine is a higher priority than God. Maybe food and my addiction is a higher priority than God. Maybe this thing that I really want, or this social media thing, or give God some place and some time to speak to you in a way where you understand. This is what I need to pull away from. This is what's distracted me, corroded my relationship with God. It's corrupted my connection to the creator of the universe, and I want to pull away, sever the relationship, sever the whatever that addiction was, or that this thing that had time and space and place over me. I think it's imperative that we prepare for it. If you have notes today, right here in your notes, I think it's on the front side, is a QR code. This will be the only Sunday we talk about fasting in this series coming up, but we're actually going to fast along through this series, and it's very intentional as we go. But we want to help you succeed at this. We want to help you find the right fast, do the right thing, and seek God through this. So in the QR code right here, and if you're joining us online, there's a digital version as well. In the QR code is just simply some help steps to help you identify what kind of fast to do. Whether it's a full fast, whether it's a partial food fast, whether it's a soul fast, and there's lots of other resources out there too. Don't think that we're going to give you all of them. You can Google some really cool fasts to be able to do this right. Because I think setting ourselves up, I mean, if you're somebody who's fasted lots of times, maybe you don't need to take the time. You could start today for all I care. That's between you and God. But what I would recommend, if this is a new spiritual discipline for you, let's take some time. Let's be intentional. Let's prepare for it. Let's prepare for it. Let's prepare for the purpose for it. Like if your purpose to fasting is to be more connected to God, that's great, but maybe you need more. Maybe there's something you're looking for. Maybe you need God to reveal some breakthrough in your life. Maybe you need God to reveal some wisdom or to help you with some direction. Or maybe you're at the threshold, a fork of a big change in your life, and you need God's clarity to know this is for you. Can I just say this? If you're fasting without a purpose, you're just on a diet. But if you're fasting with purpose, I believe that God shows up and does some really cool things. The second one, also super simple. Commit to my time of prayer and fasting. That seems really simple, like we're asking to commit for 3 weeks. Why does it need to be a big deal? Here's what I need you to know, and you probably already know this. Any spiritual discipline that we do, we can rest assured we will face resistance on the spiritual level. Fasting is going to cause some spiritual battles to take place. And they may be super aggressive. The devil may come at you and be like, you can't do this. And he may attack your physical being, and you may not feel great. You may get that caffeine headache that lasts a couple days. There may be some physical attacks or some emotional soul attacks on your body. More than likely, it's going to be the real simple things. It's going to be you don't really need to do that. You don't really need to take the time. Take the easy route. Fast from something that you really don't care about anyway. Just take the simple path. It's not going to be that big a deal. You can cheat. Nobody's going to know. There's so many little secrets that the devil loves to whisper to manipulate our thoughts, to walk away from the very thing that God calls us to do. Well, if you don't get your morning caffeine, you are not going to be a good employee. Mm-mm-mm. Listen, you need to squash that right now. It's 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, I'm going to commit to do this. I'm going to disconnect from the world by disconnecting myself from this so I can connect to God. Disconnecting from 3 weeks, it sounds at this point right now, it doesn't sound very long in the next 52 weeks of the year, but I can assure you as you start to roll through them, you're going to get resistance, you're going to get some temptation, you're going to get some people whispering in your ear that are like, oh, no big deal, you can just take today off, you can take this week off, we can change it up a little bit. But I'm telling you, if you want to get to the place on the other side where you're like, man, I'm so glad that I did this. My relationship with Jesus is so much stronger. My faith is so much more secure and so much more robust. I think we need to prepare for it. I love in Romans chapter 12 when Paul talks about this. And you might be familiar with Romans chapter 12 and be like, you don't talk about prayer and fasting at all. I think that maybe we miss this sometimes. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn God's perfect will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I think what happens is, we're going to talk more about this in this next series. over time, over habits, over consistency of doing things, we create these neurological pathways in our brain that we tend to believe are true more than what is actually true. Like the human body can really survive on somewhere between 2 to 3 weeks worth of not eating food. Like you can digest the fatty tissue in your body and all kinds of crazy cool things where your body will survive. But because we've been conditioned in our country to eat 3 meals a day, we roll around to 11:43 and we're like, oh, pastor, wrap it up. I'm hungry. We think because we've rewired our brain to think we have to have 3 meals a day, or in my case, 4 meals a day. Like we have to have these things. And we miss out on the fact that our body would actually survive without it. And it could just be that in this fast, one of the things that God wants to reveal to us are those neurological pathways where we become dependent on something or someone or some object or some whatever. And God wants to change the way you think, to change you into a new person. And I think it could be in this fast that God reveals to us a new way of thinking, a new reality of how life really works through him for us. And I believe that when Paul says, this is the real act of worship. This is what it is. God, I surrender all of my being, body, soul, and spirit. You do what you need to do so that I can sever the wrong connections and make the right ones, that I can be more connected to God, that my faith will be stronger than ever. Number three, the last one, expect God to move. If you're fasting without a purpose, you're just on a diet. Expect God to move. This isn't just a fad. This isn't a trendy thing to do. This is us intentionally setting aside the first part of our year. God, I am dedicating this first part of 2022 to you. And I'm believing that you are going to do incredible things in me and through me because of it. God, this is me setting aside that I want to make things right with you, and I want to make things right for you, and I want to make things right to you. It's not just believing, yeah, maybe this works. Maybe I'll give it a try. Maybe I'll take the easier path. It's believing and hoping with confidence that God will move and I will see him, and he will speak and I will hear him, and he will nudge and I will go, and he will lead and I will follow. It's setting aside the first part of my year. I'm done with this. God, I need you. I don't want to be hungry for this. God, I want to be hungry for you. I don't want to have an urge and a draw to this. God, I want you most. I love in Psalms chapter 5, David would often write lyrics out of his prayer. He would write his prayer into song. In Psalm chapter 5, David writes this one lyric that I love. He says in verse 3, he says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you, and I wait expectantly. Church, as we prepare this week for a time of prayer and fasting, I want to encourage you to wait expectantly. Can I pray with you? God, I believe that you do want to move. God, I believe that you're not dead, God, but you are fully alive, and you are looking for your church to pursue you so you can move in us and through us in ways maybe we've never seen before. So God, as we start this new year off, right, God, we set aside this first part of our year to be closer to you than we've ever been. God, to separate ourselves from the things that have corrupted or distracted or polluted our relationship with you so we can press into the closeness and the goodness of who you are. God, I'm not just hopeful, but I believe this was your instruction to prepare us to be closer to you. Jesus, we thank you for making that possible. And it's your name we pray. Amen.